Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grombacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Elise Glink. Elise, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Let's do this. Elise is a speaker, author, financial wellness advocate, and the founder of Best Money Moves, an organization focused on solving the problem of financial stress in the workplace. I'm excited to have you on. Elise, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
Well, a little bit about my personal life. I have been married to the amazing Sam for several decades. We'll leave it at that. I've got two boys who are both, one just graduating college in a couple of weeks and one who's a sophomore, both of whom are in computer science. So what I joke is that I started Best Money Moves, which is a SaaS software business, to stay relevant to my children.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a Midwest girl. I like to drink a lot of coffee. I travel a lot. I love to travel abroad, especially in Latin America, and I sort of speak Spanish.
Nice. That's about it. You think that there's a correlation between being from the Midwest and coffee?
No.
Do you? No. I was just curious because I'm from the Midwest, and I've never met a cup of coffee that I'm not interested in. So anyway, Elise, you Best Money Moves is how old now?
So we're in the middle of our third year.
Okay.
I started thinking about this company back in 2015, thinking of it as a real company. But my journey of how I got here is sort of an interesting story. And I always start out by saying I'm really the very last person anybody would expect to go into employee benefits because my whole career has been spent in financial journalism or in what's called today content, but an offshoot of personal finance journalism. I started out as a freelance writer. That would be hardly the choice you would want to make or your parents would want you to make for a solid and satisfying income for life. But it worked really well for me, and I became started running a pretty successful freelance business. And this is really a very long time ago, back in the early 90s. And then from there, I started getting – I started writing books. My first book came out in 1994, and I just published the fourth edition of that book. We have almost 350 or 370,000 copies in print of that, and I have almost a million copies in print of all of my books.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I did book writing, and I did speech giving, and I started working in radio, and started writing a syndicated column. And so all of that happened around this idea that you are the smartest person in your universe to make basically like 95% of the decisions you need to make about your money. And I was intent on proving to people that you didn't have to be a brain surgeon in order to manage your money effectively. And that was a pretty interesting thing to do. And I started getting hired to give speeches all over the country. And at one of those, which was in Arizona for a huge mortgage conglomerate, I was sitting with the CMO, and he and his group were sitting around trying to solve a really pressing issue. And he asked me to weigh in on it. And this is what he said. He said, "Elise, I have 6 million customers, but when they go to refinance, they never think about us. Do you know why?" And this answer popped in my head that has basically changed the course of my career. I just said to him, "Well, you're clearly not there with the information they need when they need it. So you're missing them at a crucial point." He said, "Well, how would we figure that out?" And then they hired me to reverse engineer the process, which I'd already just done with my book, of how people think when they're going to get a mortgage. And so I ended up creating a huge lead generation project all around educational content. And they just put a little thing on their website back whenever it was, I think it was like 98-ish, 99, that let people self-select into whether they were first-time homebuyers or trade-up homebuyers or they were just refinancing. And I created this incredible stream of information, and that became wildly successful for them. And they continued to hire me to do other kinds of educational content. And that led to opportunities with Quill, which is a unit of Staples, Discover Card, where I did a huge enterprise level platform for them all around education. And then Equifax, where I started and created the Equifax Finance blog. And we grew that into from nothing to over to about 200,000 unique monthly visitors. And some other really high profile projects like for Humana, where we did something around Medicare and Medicare Advantage. All of this idea that if you use information to help people see what is really in their own very best interest, they'll make the right choice for themselves and ultimately for the company. And so that's the backwards way of how I then got to a place where companies started hiring me to create financial wellness programs. But the problem was, and this is probably 2 or 3 years after the recession officially ended, so 2012, 13, 14, when people were still really broke and feeling really stressed. And all these other companies wanted to do was sell things to people that they couldn't afford. And I would say to them, you know, guys, this is never going to work. And they'd say, yeah, cash your check. Thank you very much for your honesty and just do what we tell you to do. So there I was in 2015 after I'd done the third of these projects. And I turned to Angus Carroll, who's the president of Best Money Moves. He was then my COO. And I said, you know, Angus, there's an opportunity here. We should do this the right way. And he said, oh, yeah, what does that look like to you? You know, right. Angus had every job at a company that you can have. He's worked for Fortune 100s, running big divisions, executive level stuff. He's been president of a $50 million software company. He's run EAPs. He's run $600 million content divisions. Like, he's had just this incredible executive experience. And so I laid it out for him, and he said, you know, that sounds like an interesting opportunity. Let's go do it. And that's how Best Money Moves was born.
Nice. So necessity once again breeds innovation, and here we are. So it was after the recession that companies were just trying to sell people things and then label that as an employee benefit or financial wellness. And unfortunately now it's even – you know, years later, and we're still in a point where we're not really doing that well with money, and it's still stressing us out. So from your perspective, why is that? Why, after so long, are we still not doing great?
So some of us are doing really great, and that's good. And I appreciate that, and I'm glad that there are people who are doing great. The bottom half of the country is not doing so great. And I think economists in general, and I wouldn't put myself into the level of a PhD economist, but I'm certainly an armchair one. And I've been watching this for a long time as a financial journalist. And I would say that, you know, we had a really severe shock to the system. And when, you know, people say, you know, they call it the Great Recession, as I do, really echoing the Great Depression, it was really the worst financial crisis we'd had in 80 years. 80 years is a long time. There were a lot of other severe recessions in that didn't qualify as a great recession. So what did that look like, and why haven't we recovered from it? And I think you can look to my hometown of Chicago, where you still have a huge number of homes selling for less than they were before the recession. So we hear about the housing, how great housing is everywhere, but it's not everywhere. And so in places like Chicago, where homes are still like around 16% below where they were in, say, 2007, that also is combined with people who have not had the kind of raises that you would like to see, combined with people who liquidated their 401ks just to stay afloat and not go into foreclosure, with the tens of millions of people who did and are now renting and trying to recover. And so I think when you've had a severe shock like that, and we saw large metropolitan areas basically buckle under the weight of that, the fact that everybody who wants a job today has one doesn't begin to make us psychologically feel better. And so I think it's going to take a lot longer for us to recover. And frankly, we're probably going to have another recession before everybody's feeling pretty good.
Yeah, that's certainly probably true. I love the idea of what you were talking about earlier about the mortgage company folks saying, hey, we've got 6 million customers, but they always forget about us. And it's just because they weren't in the right spot at the right time. I like the idea of wellness being offered, financial wellness being offered in the workplace, because you do need to hopefully do your best to meet people where they are. And it seems like a lot of the benefits that we have through our employer. So do you think that messaging in the workplace is going to help to change behaviors? I guess that's sort of a rhetorical question. Otherwise, you wouldn't have started the business. But why do you suppose that is?
I think it is true, actually, and I'm seeing it right now play out in real time. So we have enough companies invest money moves that we're starting to see some, you know, what Angus would call completely non-scientific results. But when I look out at how different companies treat the issue of financial wellness, right, we have one of our customers is Delta Dental of Colorado, and the CEO there is a huge proponent of financial wellness. I met her when she was at Anthem running basically a quadrant of the sales team for that whole enterprise. And she's now the CEO of Delta Dental. And, you know, we bonded over this idea that people don't always make smart choices for themselves. And some of the reason for that is they just don't have the right information. And so she, from the top down, you know, the CEO has stood up and said, hey, this is a really cool tool. We want you to use it. We know everybody's stressed about different things in their life. And this isn't just about student loans, and it isn't just about credit card debt. It's about the financial realities that pile on top of you as you age, whether it's, you know, you're in your 40s and dealing with aging parents on top of your kids starting to get ready to go to college, and how you're going to, you know, put all that together. This is really a tool that can help you. It can teach you, you can learn, you can engage, but you have to use it. So log in. And what they've done is they've run custom contests, because our platform allows companies to do a huge amount of customization around the content that's presented and contests that they can run and phone numbers that they can add. And so they've been running custom contests, and they're seeing engagement levels of 50%+, which is unheard of for financial wellness programs. So we do see that it matters when the top down, you get that messaging regularly.
I think that is certainly that certainly makes sense to me, and I'm really glad to hear that that's what the experience has been thus far. You know, any kind of organization, it usually does start from the top down. If you have leaders that are engaged and championing the initiative, then it's probably going to work. That was another thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, was how do you really start to change behaviors? And it sounds like maybe a contest has also helped.
Well, we definitely decided gamification had to be a piece of this. Millennials wanted it to be mobile first, which it is. They want it to be engaging and easy to use and intuitive. They don't want a whole lot of instruction. They want video, you know, all the things that we wanted to do to attract the population of the under 40-somethings. But at the same time, we knew we had older employees who have, in some cases, even more financial straits, are in more financial straits. And so this idea that gamification would work on a variety of levels was one really important thing that we put in. We also gave employers some tools to communicate directly with their populations. So a one-way communication portal where they can let people know about upcoming lunch and learns, for example, or they can just have one more place that people can go and talk to their employees. The last piece, I think, you know, regarding communication is it has to be what I'll call a group effort. So you need definitely the CEO top down, you need the CHRO, you need the people who run benefits for an organization, you need them to be engaged and to remind people that it's out there, because there's a lot going on in our workplaces these days. But you also need people to be able to talk to themselves and work with their spouses. And so what we decided to do with this product is to open it up. And so companies can upgrade and give credit scores to everybody. We decided to upgrade and, you know, allow companies to let employees download their personal information. Not that we keep PII on the system, we don't. But if they wanted to connect to bank accounts and, you know, credit card accounts and 401k accounts, they'll be able to. And if they wanted to add three other people, presumably some sort of spouse or partner, and maybe two kids, and let them also have access to the system so that they could use it and they could start to figure out their own financial lives, that would make all the sense in the world as well. And so what we've tried to do is think about this in a way that makes it very open and very inclusive and very friendly to people who may not be as sure about their money or how to run it as you or I.
I think that that's great. And I also, I wanted to sort of take that one step further and find out, I guess to a degree, it is really involving community and working to change habits. And I imagine that that was very intentional in how you built the system. But was that, in fact, an important component?
Yeah, community is really important. In fact, one of the things that we have on our dev list that we'll get to, I hope, before the end of the year, is to actually build a live community engagement platform inside Best Money Moves. The very first thing people asked us is, can I talk to other people in the system about how they're doing things?
Nice.
They want a safe space, not just the internet in general. I mean, Reddit's awesome, but, you know, Quora's great. I'm just not sure that that's exactly where I want to go to, you know, let my financial hair hang out. And so we have the intention of building a moderated forum where just people who are in this system, whose employers care enough about them, will be able to talk to each other and talk to me and my team directly as well, to get assistance and find insights and learn the best ways and the secret tips and all that kind of stuff to do it. And I want to just point out that trust is a really big part of this community. We don't sell anything to employees. We don't. There's no mechanism to do it. So we don't push credit card offers. We don't do lead gen. We aren't showing ads for things, right? We're not even selling coffee. I would love it. No, we're not even selling that. Our point of sale, as we say, is just to the employer. You know, we think that the companies should provide this because the ROI to a company is massive. And let me just take a moment and explain that, right? Why is it so important to a company to have employees who are not distracted by their own financial stress? And the answer is most companies don't realize, thanks to Mercer, we now do, that typical employees are spending 3 hours a week, 12 hours a month. That's work hours, thinking about their money and not about the job you're paying them to do. So if you just get them to refocus a few hours a week, that ROI is huge. But wait, there's more, and I don't have any Ginzu knives for you. The amazing thing about relieving financial stress is all the other ROI that comes along with it. Like, you get better health outcomes. Right? People who are stressed about their money are much more likely to be drug addicts, to drink too much, to not eat and pay attention and take their medications. They're much more likely to have heart attacks. So from a healthcare cost perspective, if you're a big company or a medium-sized company, you know, you're looking at every single place you can, maybe small companies the most of all, in order to hold the line on those expenses. This is one direct way to do it. And the research is now pointing to that, you know, incredibly. But you also have a lower incidence of workplace accidents. Unexplained absences are a big thing. Productivity, presenteeism. So these are all pieces, components of the $250 billion that's lost from financial stress to American business every single year. And it is incumbent on, I think, upon companies to find a way to focus on financial stress. And we've seen a lot of effort in focusing on financial well-being. But I think that, and I'm sorry to say this to my competitors, they're missing the boat here. They want you to go through a course that's going to teach you about money. Well, that's just great. I just want to solve your hottest problem first. That's it.
Yeah.
I want to dial down financial stress and let you get back to your life. And that's a little about how I think about this.
Well, I think that everything that you've described to us today makes a lot of sense. And certainly anything that can help alleviate the problems that so many of us, for that's the best way to describe it, so many Americans are facing, I think really the better. So I think it's great. So Elise, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I think when it comes to do you want it for a business, like things I've learned for my business, or do you want it for things I've learned in my life?
Well, let's do one of each.
From a business point of view, and maybe this is good for life too, expect the unexpected. So this is my fourth company, but it's the first one I've started as a SaaS software business. The other ones were either content businesses or consulting businesses or my freelance writing business. And while there were unexpected challenges and people were a little crazy sometimes, nothing was like starting this kind of a business. And everything you've ever heard about startups is true. And even when you've had experience running and starting three other businesses, it's different. So expect the unexpected. And this one you'll like from the personal side. I made a habit early on when I was in my first job of saving between 20 and 25% of my gross income every single year. And I was very fortunate in that I married a man who believed that you should live way below your means, just like I did. And I have seriously traveled the world and I've done very well, but because we always lived well below our means and we still do today, when it came time to start this business, I had a lot of options. And one of the options was writing a really big check for it. And it allowed me to not have to go look for money while I was waiting to start a business that could help potentially tens of millions of people around the United States and frankly the world, because we've already been asked to go to Canada, the UK, and Australia, and we're starting to work towards that. And so I would just say to everybody that the very best decision I ever made was to live well below my means. It's enabled me to put my kids through school without debt and start this business and travel the world. And now whenever I am ready to retire, which I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Maybe not as soon as I or my husband would like, but it's enabled us to retire and know that when the time comes, we'll be totally fine. And that is the ultimate in financial wellness or well-being, is having options and opportunities. And so starting young was the smart way to do it.
That is great stuff. Two difference-making tips for the price of one. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So Elise, thank you for that, and thank you for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you and Best Money Moves?
Well, you can find more about me and my personal finance writing at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. And for Best Money Moves, go to our website, bestmoneymoves.com. We don't currently have a B2C version of it, although we're working on that. That might happen sooner rather than later. But if you if you're a company owner or you manage the benefits, we would love to talk to you.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Elise your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Check out her her stuff at thinkglink.com and bestmoneymoves.com as well, which we'll have listed in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Elise.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.